This podcast is designed to inspire and propel you to a newfound level of empowerment and clarity. Through cultivating the art of thinking, you'll learn how to detangle your thought knots and train your brain to break through obstacles. You'll learn to focus on what matters most and make effective choices to become a remarkable you. Hello, everyone. My name is Pamela Pitcher, and welcome to my podcast. As a master of neurolinguistic programming, a motivational coach, and a hypnotherapist, I'll be sharing tips, tools, and techniques to help you awaken to the best you. To awaken to the best you, begin with a deep-seated desire to change. Some people believe in fate and say to themselves, "This is just my life and there's nothing I can do about it." From my point of view, that is a learned pattern of perception that has become a comfortable habit. From past podcasts, we know that our perception of life is as unique as each one of you. Nobody in this world thinks the same way you do. There may be similarities, and we tend to want to hang out with like-minded people, but nobody has had the exact same experiences in life, so no two are the same. Therefore, if perception is everything, and I'm not my thoughts, and we can choose other thoughts, then are we not pure potential always? We all have free will, and we can take responsibility for our lives through learning to change our perception. To create the change you want in your life, you must learn to control what you consciously focus on. And one method to do this is to reframe the negative. So for the first step, I want you to think of something bad that happened to you. And for the first time, a few times you do this little exercise, I recommend that you begin with experiences that are mild in intensity. And when you have patterned the reframe into your thinking, you can work on the bigger stuff. So zero is you have no reaction to what happened to you at all. And 10 is traumatic and highly emotional. So for purposes of doing this the first time, I'd recommend pick something around a 5 or 6. So as an example, I'm going to tell you about something that recently happened to me. I recently pulled a muscle in my right arm. It's affected my golf game. It's made it even worse. And more annoying is it's affected my swimming. However, the positives, the reframes I see from what has happened is that I realized I've been overdoing it with exercise during the lockdown. And this realization has led me to adjust my exercise regime, which led me back to yin yoga practice, which is a gentle and slow method of slow stretches, which I adore. And because there are no classes right now, I found an app that I can use also for meditation, because it has a lot of different things I can try. So now, because I pulled the muscle in my right arm, I have a better balanced lifestyle. And remember that pain is a messenger telling us that changes need to be made. So through reframing, you are using another technique to train your brain to look for positives in life. It's like doing sit-ups for your mind. It's building your core strength. And reframing is a great way to eliminate limiting beliefs too. If I say to myself something like, "I stop myself from doing that because I'm afraid I'll be criticized by others." I stop myself because I'm afraid I will be criticized by others. What is my belief? That I will be criticized. And can you think of a new phrase that presents a different, more positive perspective? How about all feedback has some value? A premise of NLP, neurolinguistic programming, that I think is exceptional is that there is no failure, only feedback. With this perspective, we can view all experiences as a learning opportunity. A quote that I recently came by, but I don't know who it's from because it said author unknown. They said, "It is a mistake to suppose that people succeed through success. They often succeed through failures." There is no failure, only feedback. Unfortunately, some people are quick to criticize, and it's important to listen to people who encourage us in our quest to improve ourselves. When you begin to change, the ones who have an interest in holding you back will resist your attempts to grow. Criticism, either self-criticism or criticizing others, is the expression of disapproval of someone or something based on perceived faults or mistakes. Critics have a negative focus associated with a certain perspective. They're frequently perceived as spoilers because they operate from a problem frame or a failure frame. A parent saying something like, "You'll never amount to anything," is a prime example of a failure frame. And sadly, critics challenge our dreams and plans. They become particularly challenging when they not just criticize our dreams, but also criticize us on a personal level. So a critic could say, "That idea is stupid," or if being really nasty, "You are so stupid for having that idea." It is important to keep in mind, in order not to have our confidence undermined when faced with a critic, is that criticism, like all other behaviors, is positively intended. Last time I mentioned that the unconscious mind runs the show, and it will continue to repeat a pattern that may no longer be serving us because it did serve us at some point in time. The unconscious mind's philosophy is that if it worked then, it will work now. When I divorced my ex-husband, I started smoking because I was so stressed out. And I hated that I was smoking. The taste, the smell. I was a runner for gosh sakes, and I'd sneak a smoke in between meetings at work and then brush my teeth and gargle, spray perfume in my hair and my mouth. But I couldn't stop smoking, and I kept beating myself up for it. You see, the nicotine calmed me down. So the unconscious mind said, smoking is helping Pam. It's helping her to relax. I didn't realize it was impairing my breath or could lead to cancer. The unconscious mind is very basic that way. Its awareness was, this is helping her by reducing her stress. Never mind how I consciously beat myself up for doing it. The positive intention behind my self-imposed criticism was a desire for me to quit smoking, but it was difficult because the unconscious mind knew differently. My unconscious and my conscious mind were at odds. There is a good way to be a critic. An effective critic makes an analysis of the proposed plan or path in order to find out what could go wrong and what should be avoided. A parent that says, "You won't amount to anything," probably has a desire for you to be more successful than them. They just haven't learned to express it well. So for example, the positive intent behind the criticism, "This is a waste of time," like I say often when faffing about with technology, is a desire to use available resources wisely and efficiently. Once upon a time, I had a boyfriend that my mom didn't approve of. She would say negative things about him, and when I spoke about him, her body language and tone of voice was always negative. She had her back up. I finally said, "Mom, stop it. Why are you always on my case about this guy?" She said, "Because I don't want you to be hurt like I was." Her man and my man had one similarity, and that's it. But because of her conditioned experience, she thought that because of his one trait, these two men were similar and mine would hurt me like she had been hurt. Then I realized she was coming from a place of love, whereas the way she was saying it to me was hurtful because all I heard was, "You're an idiot, Pam. Disapproval, disapproval, disapproval. You're an idiot." Anyway, listen to the difference between the following two statements. "You're fat. Why do you eat so much junk food?" And, "I'm concerned about you. You're really eating a lot these days, a lot of unhealthy foods." Both messages are saying, I want you to lose weight because I care about your health and I want you in my life. Remember, when someone criticizes you, it's typically about their stuff and not your stuff. Taking it personally tears you down. Your perception of me is a reflection of you. Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth. We must listen to our thoughts. Many are not serving us properly. Awakening to the best you, take conviction and ensuring that critics, even our own inner critic, does not undermine our confidence to achieve self-improvement. I'd like you to do the following. When you've got time, write down the answers to these questions. What does confidence mean to you? What does confidence mean to you? How would greater self-confidence be helpful to you? How would greater self-confidence be helpful to you? List three or four of the most important reasons why you would like to be more confident. What are three or four of the most important reasons why you'd like to be more confident? Why are these important to you? Think in terms of the benefits, the changes, and the advantages that greater confidence will bring you in each situation. Increased happiness, for example. Why are these important for you? And when you've answered those four questions, then write down three areas in your life where you have problems now because of lack of confidence. And pick one of them. Perhaps it's to be more confident in social situations or when meeting new people, as an example. I don't know. Pick one of the problem areas you have because of lack of confidence. And note what reactions do you have that make this one thing difficult right now? What reactions do you have that make this one thing difficult right now? Physically in your body, mentally in your mind, emotionally in your mind. And now think about all the advantages you will have by changing this behavior. What are all the advantages you will have by changing this behavior? More abundant life, new friends, new experiences, anything that you could think of, any of the advantages that you have by changing this behavior. And finally, what small practical steps can you take towards greater self-confidence in this area? The steps are important because it's a very effective way of building confidence. But it's also important to remember that the steps you take must be realistic and measurable. If the steps are too big, you may fail, and this will reduce your confidence. So, if you decide to start running, you probably don't want to begin with a marathon. Or if you want to lose weight, is it realistic to think you can lose 25 kilograms in a month? Probably not. It's also important to identify a measurable outcome, something you can identify as a point in time that lets you know you have succeeded in achieving your objective. The GROW model, GROW, the GROW model is a popular strategy for setting goals. G is for goal. It's the end point, where you want to be, and must be defined in such a way that it is very clear when you have achieved it. So you might want to say, I will run a marathon in 1 year's time, not I'll start running and see how it goes and maybe run a marathon one day. R is for realistic. What is your current reality? What are the issues, the challenges, and how far away are you from your goal? If you've never run before, you are further away from someone who runs 5K three times a week. O is for options. What could you do to meet the goal? Start running, yes, but perhaps you could find a running buddy or join a running club or hire a trainer, get a running app. And W is for way, which are your options that you need to be converted into steps, your action steps, which will take you to your goal. So if you decide you want to hire a trainer, then it's, I will hire a trainer this week to assist me in getting as fit as I can for running. I'll research running clubs and decide on one in 2 weeks' time. And I'll research apps and I'll get then my app going and so on. And you've got it built into your calendar. These are steps, action steps for your calendar. It's our self-imposed reasons that leads us in our comfort zone. The things we tell ourselves why we do what we do. Now listen carefully to your thoughts. Are they serving you? Break through your reason barriers. I recently heard an interview with Joe Dispenza, who is a neuroscientist, lecturer, and educator, who's driven by the conviction that each of us has the potential for greatness and unlimited abilities. I really like what he had to say, and so I'm going to tell you, and I'm paraphrasing it now, I didn't write it down. People spend much of their time reliving their past. They own it. And they spend very little time thinking about their future. If they only understood that imagining their future is the key to living their dreams. And that's where they need to put their energy, in their future. So remember, you have the power to dream. Make yourself a priority and dream big. Promise yourself to take care of you more than ever before. By taking better care of you, you will have a more positive effect on everyone around you. Create tangible, measurable results that indicate that you are stepping up to your own personal stardom. I'll leave you today with one of my favorite quotes by Henry David Thoreau, who lived 1817 to 1862. He was a famous American essayist, poet, and philosopher. He said, "Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you've always imagined." Please remember to subscribe and share across social media. I'd really appreciate that. And I'd also love to see your thoughts. So please send your feedback my way so I know how to help you the most. Thank you again. Ciao for now.